Well, I feel like she just gave a sermon, so I'm going home. Actually, I'm going to preach, but first let me take a selfie. Hold on. Everybody? Oh, wait. How do you do this? Everybody say hi. Oh, okay. Thanks, guys. Thanks. Okay. Now we can focus on the Lord, if that's okay. Anyway, I'm so glad to be here this morning. It's always terrifying to come back and speak at Dallas Christian College because I know, as often as they assure me that they don't, that our professors are grading themselves like, he didn't learn that in my homiletics class, or I can hear Dr. Halen being like, that's not the Hebrew meaning of that word, Rocky. And my palms are sweating. I'm here to serve the Lord, professors. Get off my back, okay? We're going to focus on Jesus right now. Anyway, I'm really trusting the Lord to move in your hearts and your minds. I remember the first week of school is always this miraculous thing because you get to Dallas Christian College, and for some of you, you're wondering, why in the world am I here? And for some of you, it's starting to click. And I remember my first week here, just walking around the soccer fields and praying and just thinking, okay, Lord, what the heck is going on right now? And then going to the classes and thinking that you know everything about the Bible, and then getting there, it turns out you actually don't know anything about the Bible. Or starting to serve with inner city ministries, or working at a church, or being around people who are just constantly encouraging you, and you're like, wait a second, am I in college or am I at church camp? I don't know what is happening, but God is moving in all of your hearts, and that's the privilege that you have that not everybody gets to be at Dallas Christian College. And I know she's not perfect, but I love her because God used her in my life, and he will use her in your life. And you don't even know how blessed you are yet. So I'm just praising the Lord for you this morning. I know it's scary. I know it's confusing. It's never what we think it's going to be. It always ends up better. Today, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Jonah. I know you guys are like, Jonah, get the felt board. You're going to be we know the story of Jonah because he got swallowed by a... Yeah, and everyone's like, oh, Jonah in the whale, Jonah in the whale. And we all know the story of Jonah in the whale, but Jonah is a crazy little book. If you have never read the book of Jonah, I encourage you to do it today because the entire book, four chapters, total 47 verses. You can read the whole thing in 5 minutes, and then you can post online, hey guys, I just read the book of Jonah, you know, whatever. And all your friends will be really impressed with you, and all your enemies will be terrified by you because they'll be like, oh, hot stuff, Bible college boy, read the whole book of Jonah today. Jonah is a weird, crazy book. I don't know how many of you guys have had the opportunity to study any of the prophets. They're all insane. They're all the most ridiculous things that you will ever hear. They're like performance artists 4,000 years ago. You can imagine, like, Lady Gaga might be a prophet back then. They just do the weirdest things. Like, God is like, okay, now I want you to lie on your side and shave your head and throw the hair up in the air. And then I want you to only cook your food with feces. Your feces. Okay, you could use animal feces. And it's just disgusting. And Jonah has all of those weird things, like I'm minding my own business and then I get swallowed by a fish. And it's just this crazy book. And we're going to talk about it today. I know that you know everything that you think you need to know about the book of Jonah. But I have distracted thinking, I think. And so when I read something, I'm like, whoa, they didn't tell me that in Sunday school. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. And hopefully, all of this will make sense to you in the end. So the book starts out, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Okay, so at the very beginning, God comes to Jonah. Jonah is a prophet, right? And so a prophet's job is to reveal God's truth to his people. Who are God's people? The what are they called? Say the Israelites. Man, you guys are in Bible college. Check you out. The Israelites, and they are God's people. So Jonah is prophet of Nineveh? No. Say no. 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 Jonah is prophet of? The Israelites. Okay, so whose prophet is he? Okay, stick that in your pocket because I'm going to come back to it in a little bit. So God tells him, hey, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, the Assyrians, and I want you to tell them that their time is up. I'm coming after them. And Jonah says, okay, Lord, let's do this. Does he do that? No, he doesn't. He turns tail and he goes the other direction. Right, he starts heading for Tarshish, and the he takes a boat. And how many of you guys have used a commentary yet since you've been here? Commentators are ridiculous. So they come up with the craziest stuff. Some of the stuff I'm like, there's no way that you can know that for sure. I was reading this one commentary, and I don't know if he was racist. I think he was a German commentator, and I think it was 1937 when he wrote it. But he said, no, go with me. He said, it's significant that Jonah took a boat to run away from the Lord, racist comment coming, because Jews are good at boating. And I'm like, what? And white people can't dance? And Hispanics are bad at math? And black people can't swim? You're a racist! How dare you! But he says that, he's like, it's significant that Jonah took a boat because apparently the Hebrews were bad at boating. Okay, so they did live in the desert for 40 years. But whatever, we're not going to talk about that. The point is, he wants everybody to know that Jonah just isn't running away from the Lord. Like, he's going out of his way to run away from the Lord. So the equivalent would be like, Rocky's going to run away from the Lord, and he's going to ride a gigantic cockroach, which he is just terrified of, in order to get as far away from the Lord as he possibly can. That's how insane it is that he's taking a boat. And we all know what happens. He gets on the boat. He tells all the crew and all the sailors at the beginning in chapter 2, we find out that he did tell them that he was Jonah and that he was running away from the Lord. So he's below deck, and he's sleeping, and there's this storm, it's raging, and everybody's freaking out, and they're all praying to their God. They're like, oh, Shiva, help us, or whoever it is that they're praying to. That was just the first God that popped in my mind that wasn't the real God. So, or if you're Hindu, sorry. So he started to pray, and the guy goes below deck. He's like, what are you doing down here? You should be up praying to your God. And Jonah's like, well, this is my fault, guys. Sorry, I told you I was running away from the Lord already. And they're like, oh, you did say that. Why would you do that? He's going to kill us all. And Jonah's like, don't worry about it. All you have to do is throw me overboard, and then you'll be fine. And they feel guilt, and they're like, oh, we don't want to kill you, but we don't want to die, so okay. And he gets what happens to him. He gets swallowed by, man, you guys are Bible college students. Swallowed by a fish. And then in Hebrew, I mean, it's very vivid here in English. It's very, like, intriguing stuff. But in Hebrew, it says, then the fish vomited him up on dry land. Now, I think the assumption that most of us work with is that God took him and spit him up on the shore of Nineveh. That's not actually what happened. It just, we don't know where he got spit up. And we don't know from the time that he got thrown up onto dry land to the time that God calls him again. We don't know exactly how long it is. But in chapter 3, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message that I give you. Okay. Interesting thing about Jonah. He's a prophet. And usually, like, when you read the prophets, they're all like, the Lord is going to destroy. I was reading Malachi the other day, and Malachi is really funny because Malachi actually says, it's not, this is me, this is the Bible. It says, I am so angry at you that I am going to take poop and I am going to rub it on your face. It's angry, right? But then it's like, but I love you. There's none of that in Jonah. There's none of that in Jonah. Like, Jonah goes, he goes to Nineveh, and he's not like, repent, the end is near, repent, the Lord is, he doesn't say any of that. As a matter of fact, this is what he says. Verse 4, Jonah began going a day's journey into the city proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. He's like, Jonah's like, okay, I'm going to go to Nineveh, but I'm not going to tell them they can repent, but I'm glad to go there and tell them they're all going to hell. And he's very excited about this. I'll tell you why in a second. So Jonah goes, and his greatest fear happens. The people start repenting. Like, they're very upset that God is going to destroy them. And then word gets to the king. And the king freaks out. And he's like, uh-oh, hide your kids, hide your wife. There's going to be some destruction up in here. And he, like, issues the decree. And he's going insane. He's like, everybody's going to wear sackcloth. We're going to walk around. We're going to be sad all the time. We're going to put our animals. You can't. You put that cat in sackcloth. Everybody's fasting. Cows aren't going to eat. Nobody's going to eat. Everybody, we're all repenting. And maybe the Lord will spare us. And God sees that they repent. And in the King James Version, it says, and God repented of his wrath. The Lord repented of his wrath. And in chapter 4, this is where it starts to get really good. This is the end of the book. This is where it starts to matter. Verse 1, chapter 4. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. And he became very angry. And here we find out why Jonah was happy to tell the Ninevites that they were all going to hell. He hated them. He didn't like them at all. He hated the Assyrians so much that it insulted him when he, a prophet of Israel, set apart by God to lead his people to the truth, gets sent to Nineveh to tell those stupid faces to repent. And he's like, this is why I didn't want to go to Nineveh, Lord, because I knew that you are slow to anger and that you would forgive them, and I wanted you to destroy them. Verse 4, but the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah doesn't say anything. So here's one of those weird things that happens in the prophets. Like, he's sitting up on this hill, and he's just fuming. He's mad. He's like, they're all going to live. It would have been awesome. Like, there's the king of Assyria. But no, God's all, oh, they repented. So he sleeps, and as he's sleeping, like, overnight, this vine or something pops up. And I don't know what it is about this vine, but it says the Lord provided this vine, this little tree. But it makes Jonah so happy. Like, he loves his little tree. It's like, oh, I love you, little tree. But then it says, and then God provided a worm, and it ate the tree. And it died. And then Jonah, at dawn, verse 7, but at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Oh. Reasonable response here. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. I'm fine. The Assyrians are fine, but you killed my plant. Drawing the line, Jesus. I mean, Lord. And God said to Jonah, verse 9, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? My favorite verse, my favorite response to God in the entire Bible right here. It is. Yes. And I'm so angry, I wish I were just dead. Yeah. Okay, now let me read you how the book of Jonah ends. This is just how it ends. Are you ready? This is insane. But the Lord said, you've been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight. And should I not have concern for this great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left hand, and also many animals? And then the book's over. And you're like, what? What happened? Did Jonah repent? I don't know. I told you earlier that the crazy thing about Jonah is that he was a prophet. And whose prophet was he? Israel. And God sent him to Nineveh to tell the Assyrians to repent. But whose prophet was he? Okay, so do you think that the Assyrians, after all this was said and done, do you think that God sent them a copy of the book of Jonah? No. No, he didn't. Because guess what? 60 years later, God ends up destroying Nineveh anyway. It's not about the Ninevites. The book of Jonah was written for God's people. Jonah was God's prophet. So God has this thing that he's using, these four ridiculous chapters, to tell his people. And he's reminding them something about who they are. Jonah hated the Assyrians. Why did Jonah hate the Assyrians? Because there's this long time war and fighting and rivalry. They kill Jews. They hate them. They're constantly battling over land and rights and all this other stuff all the time. And quite frankly, they're sick of it. And they just want them to go away. And then God says, by the way, I'm going to destroy Nineveh, which is their capital city. I'm going to send them a message. And I want you to go. And Jonah's like, no, because if I go, they're going to repent. And you're going to let them live. And I hate them so much. They're so mean. But God had a message for his people. And where do we find out what this whole thing is about? Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. How many of you guys know it? So Dr. Halen is still here, I guess. Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3. If you know it, why don't you go ahead and say it? Oh, I guess it's not going to pop up. Do you know it? And the Lord said to Abram, come on. You're going to have to memorize it. Just say it. And the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And there's the key, and all people on earth will be blessed through you. God chose the nation of Israel to be a blessing to the world. He set them apart to represent his interest in the world, to do his work in the world, and to ultimately bring salvation into the world. They were holy. They were set apart. They were a holy priesthood. Is there anyone else in the Bible that God refers to as a holy priesthood? Christians, you. God refers to you as a holy priesthood. God has set you apart to do his work in this world until the day he comes again and he has filled you with his spirit so that you are able to go and be his hands, his feet, his voice, his mouth, his eyes in this world. So Jonah was written for us. Jonah is about repentance. It is about repentance, but it is not about Nineveh repenting from sin. It is about the saved repenting from their attitude. Amen. God said, I set you apart. And do you know why the Assyrians and the Israelites were always at war? Because Israel was so happy, so glad to be God's people, and they would brag about it. Oh, the Lord is on our side. The Lord is on our side. Look how great is our God. How great is our Lord. And it meant absolutely nothing to every other nation living in their vicinity. They didn't make a single difference for the Lord in any of their lives. So let me ask you a question. How much of the trouble you face every day, how much of the difficult people that you deal with every day is because you have not shown them the love of Christ? They walk around angry and sad and mad, and they're mean to you, and they hate you, but they know nothing of your God, and you have yet to tell them because you hate them. You need to repent, church. You need to repent. The book of Jonah is for you. It's about you. It's about God's people needing to repent and be what God has set them apart to be. It was their message. It was not Nineveh's message. It is like, hey, Remember who you are. I know you hate these people, but why should I hate them? You had nothing to do with them. I created them. I know they're slaughtering you guys in Iran and Iraq, church. I know that they are, but there are 1 billion Muslims in this world, and you had nothing to do with them. Why should I hate them? Why should I not want them to come to the Lord? They're gays. They're like 1 in every 4 or 7 people is gay in this world. Why should I hate them? You have nothing to do with them, and you're telling me that I hate them? I want them to be saved. You need to repent, church. I remember my first semester here at DCC. I have a very difficult family life. And my family, man, they just, you know? Your family like that? Like, take them in doses? I wasn't ready to tell my family that I was going into ministry. I was a closet minister. And so I'm standing in the dorm room, mirror right here, sinks right there. You're familiar with it. And I'm about to leave to go home for Christmas, first Christmas at home. And I know God has done a mighty work in my life. And it all makes sense. My entire life just makes sense. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm not ready to tell my family about this yet. This is all new to me. And I'm wearing this stupid bracelet. Everybody's wearing these stupid bracelets. WWJD. WWJD. I'm like, you know what? They're going to ask me what this is about. Stupid bracelet. I took it off. And I go home. People are like, oh, college boy. I don't know if you know Hispanic people. They're like, college boy. I can still beat you up. What are you studying? Oh, English, math, just basics. I haven't committed to anything yet. College boy. And my trick worked. I go see my cousins. They don't ask me a single thing about my faith. First week in January, my cousin was murdered in a drug deal. I don't know if he's in heaven now. I have to wait and find out. I don't know. But I do know a stupid bracelet could have made all the difference in the world. I'm the first to tell you that I have to repent of my attitude. I am the first to admit that there are times when I am so overcome by the evil in the world that I just want to hide. When I am so frustrated that kids are still, that it's 2014 and kids are still going to bed hungry and they're still dying of diseases and there's still so much hate and people are getting their heads chopped off all over the world and it overwhelms me and I'm full of rage and I feel like it's righteous anger and I'm like, why is this still happening, Lord? God is like, should I not love them? Should I not give them every opportunity, Rocky? Will you go? Will you love them? Will you repent of your hateful, scared attitude? Will you go to them and tell them that I'm coming, that I have sent my son to save them, and that there is a totally different life that they can live? And they will repent, Rocky. They will repent. But will you repent? Thank you.
Thank you, Rocky. Hey, you guys are using Logos. I want to encourage you guys to come over to the banquet hall, bring your lunch on over there. You can get some tutorials on how to use Logos. When you dismiss here in a minute, be sure you have some patience and badge out there as you dismiss. Rocky, I appreciate your message. Thank you very much. Let's pray, and then you're dismissed. Lord, thank you for the message that you've provided through our brother Rocky. I'm praying that you would guide us this very day and show us who it is that you want us to be, who it is that you desire us to represent to our world around us. God, we want to mature every moment to grow in you and to offer a message of redemption to our world. Lord, we just love you. We thank you for your blessings that you pour out on us every moment. Amen. You're dismissed.